Hello, Punch Club. Okay, I have to make an announcement, but I'm gonna pepper in some sound drops so it is not as somber as it seems. Some of y'all might know this, and some of y'all don't. Some of y'all might be with this, and some of y'all won't. But listen, I'm leaving the podcast. Yeah. Like DJ Kool said, though. I announced it a little bit ago on Twitter and Instagram, but come September, I am no longer gonna be a part of Punch Up the Jam. It's truly been a blast, but I have to do a lot for this podcast, and it takes up my time in ways that I can't really sustain, so I'm moving on to work on a few bigger projects that I've been sitting on for a while. I'm sure this news feels bittersweet to a lot of you, but it feels like the best move for both my health and my career.
Roll up!
This isn't the last you're gonna hear me, though. I'm not retiring 100% from music stuff. I really enjoy it, and frankly, I find it pretty fun and easy a lot of the time. I'm just gonna be doing it a lot less, and on my own schedule without a weekly podcast to keep up behind it. If things go according to plan, you might even see a few musical things in some of those bigger projects. I don't know, we'll see.
I'm tweaking.
Anyways, I just wanted to make a formal announcement on the podcast so you guys weren't all shocked when my voice stopped appearing here, like I died suddenly or something. I'm still going to be on a bunch of episodes that we've got recorded and banked that will be dropping all the way through August and September, and then we've got two live shows at Bumbershoot in Seattle and XOXO in Portland on Friday, August 30th and Saturday, September 7th, respectively, and those will be my final hurrahs for the show. By the way, tickets for those shows are available right now, so you can go and get them.
Bop.
And I hope to see you guys in either city, but just in case I can't, I'm sending you all my love. It's really meant the world to have you guys all as listeners, so I just want to say thank you, and I love you, and you guys are the best for taking the time to listen to this. But I'm not gone yet, so without further ado, it's showtime.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
There are, like, lead vocalists whose voice is sex. Uh-huh. Like, that, like, however they, you're just like, damn.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's how I feel about, like, Freddie Mercury and Adele.
It feels equally. Like for everyone, the lead vocals are sex, but not all the time are you like, ah, that's sex I want.
Yes. That's the thing. Sometimes you get that dynamic front person like your Diamond Dave, where it's just like, ooh, you're really working hard to prove to me you're good at sex.
Mm-hmm. Or your Axl Roses, where you're like, there's something there, but it also feels like maybe I don't want to go back to this all the time.
Sex of your life.
Yeah. You're like, this will be a hookup.
Hit that theme!
It's time for
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Well, the word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education. Don't forget from whence you came. And the world's gonna know your name.
What's your name, man?
Alexander Jamilton.
All of that for
my
Alexander
name is Alexander Jamilton.
That's the end?
Yeah, that's it.
I feel like there should have been a punch pun in there.
And there's a million things I haven't
punched.
Punch you, wait. Punch you, wait. When he was 10, his father's...
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam, I guess.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for coming.
My name is Miel.
My name is Not.
What do we do?
What we do on this podcast is basically we take a song you may know, may not know, a song that most people, have heard, a popular one. We talk about the lyrics, we talk about the music, and then we talk about why it's bad and fix it.
I don't know that we talk about why it's bad.
Okay, we don't talk about why it's bad, but we talk about it a lot, and then we're like, how can we improve it?
Yeah.
And then we, don't.
A fool's errand every week.
A fool's errand.
And we're two fools, so that works out perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what fools reminds me of?
What?
Fool's
gold?
The Renaissance-y period.
Mm.
And that's what this song is.
It's the Renaissance-y period?
And I feel like there's a court jester.
Oh, you can talk if you want.
Hi.
There's a court jester that we should probably introduce.
I was just doing a dance of a court jester. Like, yes. I get what you're saying.
Ah.
Should we give him a name?
Wait, are you saying he's the fool?
Yeah, he's the jester. We're the fools.
Well, I actually take that as a compliment.
That is a compliment.
Wait a minute. This scenario has two fools and a jester?
Yes,
no, see, but that's the thing. Often, the jester was seen as a fool, but truly, the jester was the only one who could speak truth to power.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So we need our expert, and he needs to have a proper introduction.
Okay, let's do this.
Woo!
You know him as the co-host of My Brother and Me, Schmanners, The Adventure Stone, and many more. It's Travis McElroy!
Hi.
He won't stop juggling.
It's me. Juggling.
You look like the cactuses that dance in Super Mario Bros. When they just flip their arms up and down.
Uh-huh.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
You're very welcome.
High praise.
Yeah, well.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Travis, thank you for
coming.
You
say, I'm so sorry to be here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm like, so excited to have you.
We're very excited.
You're
to have
so sorry
you.
To have me?
I'm extremely sorry. Yeah. I'm so fucking sorry for all of this.
I'm so excited to bother you.
I am so excited for so many reasons. A, you're great. B,
Thank you.
C, you wanted to do this song and I'm so fucking excited about it.
Yes, I do.
This is probably the most requested song of all time for us.
Yeah, this, I think it is.
It's going to be interesting to talk about this because I sincerely and deeply love this song.
It's a good song. The thing is, like, compositionally, I feel it's terrible,
and that's why it's great.
There are some things to talk about lyric-wise. But I have done this song at karaoke.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You can hit that high part.
No.
I did it this week at karaoke because I was like, I think I'm going to sing this live. And I was like, I want to make sure I can hit it.
The thing is like, this is what anytime I pick a song for karaoke, like I will like quietly, like, but out loud, start going through it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I can do it. And like,
a consummate professional,
right,
of course.
So I went through like the first third of the song and I was like, okay, I could do this. And then I forgot. That it just keeps going. Yeah. I feel like, and maybe this is hyperbole and this isn't true, but I feel like it has like 18 key changes. Like it just
I think
keeps.
32.
Feel like, I'm like, is there a key? I feel like there's one for
there
like
it
a,
might change in the bridge.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
Yeah.
And if I should, like, that's where it really like.
Ooh. Yeah.
That also is just so hard. This whole song melodically is a maze.
It's so clear that he was like a very good singer.
Oh,
and for-
dude, not only is he a good singer, he won 3 Grammys for this song.
Whoa.
3. He won Record of the Year.
Hell yeah.
Song of the Year.
Hell yeah.
And Best Male Pop Vocal. And just
Batman
so you know.
Did that.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
In those categories, he beat the likes of TLC's Waterfalls.
Whoa.
Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise.
Whoa.
And Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know.
Wait, wow. This is.
I know.
Wait, for Song of the Year?
I don't remember which one's which. I just wrote
but
those
also,
3 things.
But also, can we talk about what a year?
Yes, what a year! That's... 1996 Grammys!
Oh, my
also,
God.
Also, the fact that Gangsta's Paradise was nominated against those things, I'm like, it's a good song, but it feels to me, I'm like, I wouldn't think that the Grammy Recording Academy would be like, this is the same type of...
Oh, but see, I would say even though it's not... I mean, listen, it's not like he's hitting seal notes.
Sure.
But, like, performance, like, active, like, here's the emotion and intensity I'm bringing to it. Yeah, Gangster's Paradise is a like impactful song. That's why they used it on the Sonic preview.
Exactly.
Because it was just so...
Made me cry. No. Miel, for how often I cry at things, do you think I cried at them using Gangster's Paradise in the Sonic trailer?
Honestly, maybe.
Fair.
I don't know why you would cry about anything.
I was upset.
Travis, also, I think I skipped asking you, why did you choose Kiss from a Rose?
Okay, so this is like... You know, formative is a strange word to use when you talk about Kiss from a Rose. But, like, I think the thing that is, like, Kiss from a Rose has always stood out to me as, like, one, an epic song.
It's huge.
Like, it's sweeping.
Yeah.
It's like this, and, like, My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
And, like, these songs where it's just, like, wow.
This
is, like,
a
huge
song. The song's got, like, a catharsis built in.
Yeah. Right. And also, the weird juxtaposition of that, and it's from Batman.
I always forget that it's from Batman, and then I'm kind of like, it makes sense slightly, but it doesn't make sense more in the fact that it's like, this feels like a song that he put so much work into.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. This song is from his album.
Yes.
And then later was put on the Batman soundtrack.
Oh, really?
It's
not an original.
No.
Okay.
And in fact, this came out in 95 originally on Seal's second album, which I think was just called Seal.
Yeah. Sure.
Seal of Approval.
I wish it was.
Well, his first album was Sign.
Yeah.
And then his third album was Deliver.
I think it was Loose Seal.
Loose and then Seal.
Yeah. He wrote it in 87.
Wow.
And he immediately was like, this song's fucking trash, and tossed it.
Dumbass.
And didn't even consider it for his first album. And then I guess he must have been really scrapping for the second album and showed it to the producer, Trevor Horn. If that name sounds at all familiar to you.
T-Horn.
T-Horn, of course, as we all
Thorn.
Know. That's why, because it spells Thorn.
Yeah, yep.
It's because he's half of the band The Buggles, which did Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, that's, wow.
And also produced, I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. He had a brief tenure as the lead singer of Yes.
Oh, boy.
And then the only other like big hit I can find that he produced was Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Relax.
Oh, wow.
This man is a hit maker.
And you know what? That explains why Relax and Kiss from a Rose are so similar.
Yeah.
Isn't that the weirdest like pairing?
This
that
is
producer?
When you want to go.
This is from... I might be wrong. I might be getting my Batmans confused. But this is the Val Kilmer. This is Batman Forever. Batman Forever.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Keaton. I was like, weird.
No, this was the Joel Schumacher Batman. And Joel Schumacher himself reached out to Seal and was like, can we use the song? Wait. Because it had briefly, it'd been released already, and it like just immediately fell off the charts. No one gave a
shit
about
it. Wait, isn't Clooney the Schumacher one, or is it both of them?
He did two.
They let him do two?
He did Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. And then people said he ruined the Batman franchise, and it wasn't until Nolan that we got like, quote unquote, good Batmans again. And he stopped doing blockbusters after that, and now he only does like indie features because it turned him off so much.
Listen, maybe this will be the hottest take on here, but I'll say, I enjoyed Batman Forever.
Oh, I think
they're terrible in a good way.
Yeah, right.
I think Batman and Robin is so fun because of how insane it is.
Right. Freeze.
I respect a filmmaker that goes for it more than I respect one that's just like, what are we, this place?
Robin pulling off his lips and going, fake lips.
So good.
I was like 10 seeing that being like, this is bad, right? We can all agree.
Well,
this
and
is
here's
bad.
The thing. Yeah, when I saw Batman Forever, I was at the perfect age range. So we really enjoy Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Oh, so good. Yeah. 1 year after The Mask?
Yeah, right? Now, Travis would not enjoy it. But like, whatever, 10, 11-year-old Travis was like, this is art.
Maybe you were the key demo. Maybe Joel was just doing something we weren't expecting.
Absolutely.
Well, and he also had the...
Just real quick before we... Because I'm like, this is directly relevant to this. Great story about Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey working on
Batman
Forever.
What are you about to say?
So when they worked together on Batman Forever, there was a point in which Jim Carrey was out and about and he saw Tommy Lee Jones in a restaurant eating alone. And he went up to him and he's just like, I'm going to go say hi to my coworker. And he's like, hey, how are you, buddy? Tommy Lee Jones just like scowls at him, is like, no, and like starts to get up and leave. And Jim Carrey's like, what is it? And all he says is, I cannot sanction your buffoonery, and walks off.
That's the meanest thing anyone could ever say to you.
It's so funny to me.
If you're a comedian of any kind and someone said, I cannot sanction your buffoonery, I would probably just go jump off a bridge.
Also, just think of it coming from Tommy Lee Jones, like this thick Texas, like just grumpy. I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
But then he goes on to do Men in Black. Relax, Tommy Lee Jones. I'm
very
curious
funny.
About this.
It's so funny to me. Sorry, Kiss from a Rose.
I cannot sanction this buffoonery.
Frankly, I can't sanction this buffoonery.
I shouldn't.
No, and I, like I said, not only is this song epic, and I mean this with like no joking, no irony. It's iconic.
It is iconic. It's so strange.
Absolutely.
It is a thing where I think if you are like within like a 10-year before a 10-year after window of like, you know what this song is.
Yeah.
I think like generationally there is a like maybe even wider than like a 20-year range of like if you say Kiss from a Rose, no matter what kind of music you enjoy, like everyone knows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree.
You know what's funny? The first time I ever heard this song, do you know Mega 64 at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mega 64 was like a video game sort of sketch group. I don't know if they're still together, so I say was. But they had this thing with a puppet called like Marcus's Corner or whatever. And when I was very into video games, I loved this. And the first time I heard it is because they had the puppet singing Kiss from a Rose. And I was like, this is so funny. What is this? And I Googled it and it's like, oh, it's a real song.
Yeah.
But I did not know of it before that
That's
point.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Apparently, like I said, he released it and it did not do well.
Mm.
And then Joel Schumacher hit him up and was like, hey, can I use that song over a love scene between Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman? And he was like, yeah, go for it. And then Joel in the 11th hour was like, never mind, I'm going to put this over the credits, but not as the first post-credits song, the second one,
what?
After a U2 song.
What?
I know. It's very confusing to me.
You lead with Seal, man.
I mean, obviously,
well,
that's what the people wanted.
It might have been. This is something I recently found out, and don't quote me on it because I might be wrong. But someone told me, and maybe I looked it up, that when it comes to the – if you're trying to win a Best Original – like soundtrack Oscar or like song Oscar.
Yeah.
It has to be like either used in the movie or the first song in the credits, but not
it
the
was
second
not
song.
Eligible.
Yeah, because it had already been released.
Yes, exactly.
It has to be written specifically for the movie.
Right.
And it has to either be in the movie or the first,
so
not
probably
second.
Probably maybe that was that U2 song that they did that with. I don't know.
So dumb.
But either way, it worked out for fucking Seal because after that movie came out, it launched it to number one on the Billboard chart where it stayed for 9 fucking weeks.
Mm.
So Batman's the only reason any of us know this song.
Batman That's saves so yet another.
And you have to watch the music video they made for the Batman version of the video.
Oh,
there's
boy.
Two versions. There's this one shot. It's all just like B-roll and bullshit. Seals like on a weird Gotham-y roof, and there's like the bat signal and just weird clips from the movie. But then for some reason, during this like big moment, I think it's right before he goes, baby, they hold on this frame of Val Kilmer in the bat suit, turning to camera, like really fast on the beat and then freeze framing on his like stunned expression until it fades into Seal.
That's like so he weird. Is the one saying, baby. You remember that iconic Batman scene where he turns toward the camera and said, baby?
Also, Val Kilmer, I mean, just so many questions. Baby. Yeah, what?
Val Kilmer was a very, very good Bruce Wayne.
Really?
Not a great Batman.
I don't know that I saw.
No,
the
I
Val
only
Kilmer
know Keaton
one.
And Clooney. I do not know Kilmer. Yeah.
Ooh, also, Keaton, Clooney.
All those hard C's. Okay.
Keaton, Clooney, Kilmer, Affleck, Christian.
That. Christian's in there. I remember like thinking I find Val Kilmer interesting. But once again, like I said, I was like 11. Yeah. And I haven't watched this one.
And you probably still loved him as like Mad Mardigan.
Oh, yeah.
I fuck with Mad Mardigan hard.
Also, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's so
oh,
good.
Oh, he's so good.
Wonderful. So good in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Not very good in Mr. Snowman or whatever the fuck that movie
I didn't
was.
See that one. I had all the clues already. I didn't need to see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay, Seal has never explained what the song is about, offering only that there was, quote, some kind of relationship that inspired the lyrics,
okay.
furthering this wormhole. He didn't even print the lyrics in the album sleeve, which was very weird for the time. Instead, printed, I think it's the general vibe of what I'm saying that is important and not the exact literal translation.
Mm.
This song is always larger in the listener's mind because with it they attach imagery, which is relative to their own personal experience. So it is
what?
Your perception of what I'm saying rather than what I'm actually saying that is the key. One step further, his genius page.
Oh, so funny.
Is verified. The only commentary is one note at the top that says, I have avoided explaining these lyrics for 25 years. I'm not going to start doing it now.
Why amazing. Even register?
Why is it verified?
Yeah.
It's okay. I just realized I know nothing about Seal.
Seal?
Is like English his first language?
Yes. British born
He's
Nigerian.
British,
okay,
yeah.
That's what I thought, right? Because some of the like word choice, like the connections of things, sounds like something that was translated and is so close.
It could
right.
be like a drug thing, maybe, that he was like trying to
well,
be.
What, love remains the drug, not the pill.
But like. The light hits your eyes become a large.
We're going to have to be very creative with this read.
Your eyes become a large and the light that you shine can be seen.
That sounds like drugs.
Like, but I almost understand what that means. Like, oh, your eyes get big and you see the light.
It's because you're doing what he said.
But if you just lit, but the words themselves, your eyes become a large and the light that you shine can be seen.
Through your eyes. It's like Midnight Special.
Wait a minute. I know we're not there yet, but I'm like, is he saying that, like, did you know that when your love snows on me, my eyes become large? Like, my pupils are dilating, and the light that you shine, the good things about you,
seen.
I can finally see them because my eyes are getting bigger.
You're going to have to wait till we get there,
yeah,
I guess.
I know. I'm just saying.
There's some imagery in it that's so close
yep.
to being like a real phrase.
I think
Nigerians love a mystery.
I don't know if this is a Nigerian thing. Maybe.
I'm going to say it is because you can't say it's not.
It's
true. Challenge me.
Miel, it's a Nigerian saying. Move on.
My theory is that this shit makes no sense and he's like never going to admit it. So he's like, it's actually art and what you think it is what it is.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing. I actually have no problem with that.
It's fine.
There are many bands. One of my favorite bands.
I wish more people would do that.
One of my favorite bands in the world is Fall Out Boy, and a lot of their lyrics are like, sounds like a thing,
yeah.
But then if you look at the lyrics, like, wait, what's a loaded god complex? Nothing. Ooh. It's nothing. You think they're saying loaded gun complex, and you're like, I get it, but like even that doesn't make sense. But it's like, yeah, it's not supposed to, it's just a song.
Yeah,
right?
They're really making it up to us to decide what it's about,
yeah,
and
right.
I kind of think that's the way we're supposed to hear music.
There was
yes.
a band called Every Time I Die that my friends really, really liked, and they introduced me to, and we were watching this like documentary about like a tour they went on. And, like, in one scene, like, a fan, like, shows them a tattoo of their lyrics that they got. And they're like, oh, that's great. And then as soon as the fan leaves, they turn towards the camera and like, those lyrics don't mean anything.
Oh
that's just nonsense that
it's
we
like
wrote.
That, to them.
It's like the lyric from that Nirvana song in Bloom. Where it's like, he's the one who likes all our pretty sons. And he likes to sing along. He likes to shoot his gun. But he don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
It means.
Don't know what it means.
Speaking of beats, last thing I'll say,
Speaking
I think this
beats,
might be our first waltz that we've ever done on the podcast.
Is this a waltz?
Yeah. 3-4. Mbop, bop, mbop, bop, mbop, bop.
So mbop doesn't count, but mbop, bop does.
Mbop, bop, bop. No, it doesn't. Sorry.
I've okay. never thought about it before, but yeah, it's a waltz.
I mean, you notice how the song sounds like it's played on a fucking lute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could play, that movie is not Renaissance themed.
No. You could play the hell out of this on a harpsichord.
Why has it not shown up in, like, Game of Thrones? Like, this could have been Reigns of Castamere.
Are you asking why Kiss from a Rose hasn't showed up in Game of Thrones?
I'm just saying it's very Renaissancean.
You could play a version of it with, like, harpsichord and lute. People would watch it and be like, that's great. And then, like, 3 days later, be like, wait, hold on. I want to watch that again.
What's that seal?
They should have played it when Jon Snow kisses Ygritte, because her name is Rose Leslie.
Yeah.
And they're in the snow, if I remember correctly.
After.
Right? I'm just saying Kiss from a Rose.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have played it at their wedding.
Well, there you go.
Perfect.
What I said makes sense. I'm not crazy.
Nope.
You're the crazy ones.
Why don't you hit play?
It's a Nigerian thing. Hey, everyone, stop talking. Let's go to an ad.
Oh, yeah.
Acapella.
This is the only acapella I can handle.
It's so hard not to sing along.
I'm so mad we don't have stems.
Here's what I love about this. Yes. Right off the bat, I just love something about the choice of using the syllable ya. Ba ya ya instead of ba da da, it's ba ya ya da ya da. It's just so smooth.
Instead
of being like peaks, it's like waves, and I might be using the wrong word, but like a weird like reverb, ethereal.
I think it is sort of reverb, but yeah,
it is.
It's super wet.
Yeah, it sounds like there's like 18 layers of his own voice.
Yeah,
I think there is, and also I think largely that's his tone. His tone is like, so breathy.
It's like he's doing ASMR.
Yes.
It also feels like he was like, I'm going to do each of these twice, but I want them each to be like, he's like, it's not an effect. He's like, I'm going to do each of them twice, but they have to sound exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He like doubled his vocal perfectly. It almost sounds duplicated. What is that instrument?
Which one?
A piccolo?
It sounds like a piccolo.
A piccolo?
It reminds me of My Heart Will Go On a little.
Yes. This is what I'm saying. Start your song with a flute. You're going to win, I don't know, an Oscar or a Grammy.
Can we make this rhyme? Start with the flute.
You get the loot.
You get the loot.
Oh, there you go.
Is the loot an instrument or money?
Here's the confusing thing.
I'm not going to answer what my lyrics are. If Seal didn't do it, Meow, I'm not doing it.
You make a great point.
The old mnemonic is start with a flute, you're going to get the loot. Start with the loot, you won't get the loot. And that's how you remember it.
Yep. Now eat a boot.
Just start with the loot, then you eat a boot. Start with a boot.
You'll say shoot.
You're going to say shoot. Start when you shoot. Hey, buddy, that's a flute.
And it all comes back around.
There you go.
You should do this on your riddle segments. Yeah.
What am I? Seal?
I'm something. Start with a boot.
It also makes me think of, and maybe I'll come back and we'll do this song too, but it's one of my favorite things to point out because it blows my mind. That piano man starts with a harmonica solo.
It does?
I think about it every time. Literally, a song called Piano Man starts with a harmonica solo.
That's great.
I think about it every morning, noon, and night.
Man, I just love this intro. It's so, immediately you're like, what is this? You're like, I need to hear where this is going.
Yeah, this is like if you showed up to like a theater for like a play.
Yeah.
And you showed up, and at first like everyone comes out in like black leotards. And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
This isn't me a show where they come into the audience, right, and I need to be ready to be touched.
Right. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
It does say you have to be like, it's not your average song.
Yeah. No, I mean, I literally want to like be in A Knight's Tale.
Right.
But I want to be like the girl, you know, with the cool hair.
I don't. You think I know A Knight's Tale more than I do.
I know it very well.
Thank you. It's a great, dumb movie.
If you can make a Black Knight reference, that'd be great for me.
Yeah, I want to be at the table. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen it.
I was like, I don't know what you're.
I assumed King Arthur's table was in that at some point.
Probably not. It's really just Martin Lawrence and he got sent back in time.
Oh. Much like a kid in King Arthur's court. Yes. I think it was the kid from Rookie of the Year.
Huh.
Was it? That kid had a good year or two.
Anyways, Kiss from a Rose.
Okay.
Yeah, there, and definitely that's the waltz. The bop, bop.
Yep. Bop, bop.
Here's, okay, in recording the punch up for this, I had to do the harmonies for this so hard because the stems don't exist, but I was also just like, it was so interesting to try and listen and pick up on each individual layer.
It's super complex.
Super complex, but it's like, ba ya ya, that one's like, bop, 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 and then there's also like a, ba ba ya, ba da da.
Oh, wow.
And then
he's playing instruments with his voice.
Yeah.
So this is like a full on like
arrangement.
Choral arrangement.
Yeah. Yes.
But fully. Him.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, he adds more every time. And then like some of them drop out when instruments come in. But then on the fourth part, even more come in that weren't there. It's like, it's such a complex, cool thing.
Seal really went off for this one.
Oh, yeah. He went loose.
And I can see why when he first wrote the draft in like 87, did you say?
Yeah.
Like why he would be like, this is too messy.
Nigerian well, I think parents. Maybe it was Trevor Horn that maybe was part of why this sounds so cool.
Well, but that's the thing too. If you look at all the moving pieces of this song, it's like, hey, there's a very good chance this is going to be a piece of shit.
There is a very good chance
this will be a piece of shit.
Trevor Horn
came in and he salvaged it.
And he remains
the producing singer of the Buggles. And yes,
but did you know Kiss from a Rose was in Batman Forever because you two had it first?
Sure.
And that's the punch up. Good night,
everybody. I already did it.
Schumacher gave me a chance.
You have to get into him singing. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm getting too teased by this.
Okay.
There used to be a gray and tower alone on the sea.
That bass.
Yep.
You became the light on the dark side of me. Life remains a drug that's
there's the bass.
I know. I'm sorry, but I was like, how much we have to analyze this so deeply that I'm like, we can't have too many lyrics.
There's
that we have
too many things to talk about.
And I'm a complete layman, which you will see as I don't know. Like, anyways, the way that he goes up on you
and then, scoop.
But like, so yeah, but like, and just as he comes out of it, it's so smooth.
It's a beautiful, he has a beautiful voice.
Yes,
he,
really do.
He very much deserved best male pop vocal for this.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say Heidi Klum.
He very much deserved Ovita saying Heidi Klum.
Yes.
But I also get, like, if you look at the lyrics of it, and as scary as this is to say, I can kind of see what Joel Schumacher was thinking.
Okay, he said there used to be a graying tower. A graying tower alone on the sea. You became the light
on the dark side of me, right? Like that I see is if you look at Bruce Wayne as this character who has isolated himself from the world.
He's the tower.
But he wrote it before the movie.
No, but that, I'm not saying he wrote it for the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Joel Schumacher listening to it might say like, oh, this perfectly represents, because literally a lot of shots of Wayne Manor in like Gotham is like on a hill overlooking like some kind of like bay or river. Yeah. And like, and then Nicole Kidman comes in. Was that who it was?
Yeah. The love interest.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she comes in and it's like, oh, you have brought this light to the dark side of me to help me balance out like the dark side of Bruce Wayne that is Batman. Like I kind of get it. I kind of get it.
Is it weird? I keep thinking about The Great Gatsby with this song.
Okay.
Is it because of the period?
No, because of the like the light on the dark side of me, and there's like the green light on the tower that he's drawn to.
That's so funny. I'm like thinking about Seal in his apartment in London in 87.
Maybe, but it's like also just the tower, the graying tower is like, oh, this like massive like figure of success, but it's also gray, so it's sad. And I'm like, okay, right? Gatsby.
Yeah, like you're isolated.
But
like, yes, you're.
He says there. He didn't say I used to be. There used to be.
Maybe it's his heart.
Oh.
Yeah. There used to be a graying tower alone on the sea, but then you became the light on the dark side of me.
Right? And, you know, that you get that a lot. Like, if you change it to, like,
you
know, if you change it to, like, a lighthouse, people use a lighthouse as, like, imagery for themselves all the time. Like, see the lonely lighthouse, and it's like, that's you. That's you.
It's not me. It's the lighthouse.
Okay, my theory, this is highly specific about an actual relationship he had.
Okay.
In which they just, like, went to some mansion, like, preserved castle together or something. And he was just like, yeah, remember we went to that castle? Anyway, we had some fun, huh?
That
it's just
that
a
is,
random
I will say, oddly specific.
I know, it just had to have happened, right? I mean, that's the one quote I have from him. He said some kind of relationship inspired the lyrics.
Yeah, and what's
interesting, it could be to drugs, I don't
know. It's so weird to me to think of like, that this, because I just found out, 20 minutes ago, that this wasn't written for Batman Forever.
Yeah,
because you're still recovering.
I always associated Kiss from a Rose on the Grave, maybe it's grave, maybe it's gray.
Yeah.
But that the rose on the grave was like a rose on Bruce Wayne's parents' grave, that he's standing at the graveside.
Ooh.
And that's like, so generous of you to look at
that. Like, but that when I was like 11 or 12 and I heard it, I was like, oh, the grave we're talking about is like the Wayne family grave.
It makes way more sense as a phrase from Kiss from a Rose on the Grave than it does on the gray.
But I believe it is gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to the Verified Genius.
Because I always thought of it as like, that you could see an image like in a dramatic movie where someone like would kiss a rose and place it on the grave of a loved one or something.
Mm. Or even like, just like the rose touching the grave is the kiss of the rose.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Or maybe the gray is the graying tower.
Or yeah, I mean, that's the connection, film. Right?
What? The gray? Yeah.
The Liam Neeson film.
Yeah. You became
a wolf. I was fighting in the woods.
The woods!
Everyone is dead.
The wolf has a duet.
Okay, what a better movie that would have been if it did.
It is also my favorite. My daughter, who is 2.5, really loves doing animal sounds, and wolf is one of my favorite because she does it completely emotionless. They'll say, like, what's a wolf say? And she'll look and go, woo. And you're like, yeah. But if you ask her what a dinosaur says, she closes her eyes and just goes,
oh, she feels the dinosaur.
Yeah, she
and it moves through
it's
her.
It's like her favorite sound. That or monkey, where you say, what's a monkey's age? She goes,
It's like a very, like, questioning monkey.
Yeah.
And it's just a
statement
something.
Of fact. This is what a monkey says.
I love her. I don't think there's anything we can say conclusively. I think we can only start to write our own conspiracy theories.
Okay. Here is thinking about it, Kiss from a Rose on the Gray. Right?
We're not even there yet.
Okay, you're right. I'm so excited.
We're doing just Graying Tower and Light on the Dark Side of Me.
And Love Remained the Drug that's the high and not the pill.
Right.
I think he had a girlfriend who he did drugs with.
And because you could look at that lyric makes complete sense to me. Because what you're saying is love is the drug that's the high and not the pill, right? Is that what it is?
Love remained. So I think like once we came down from being high, love we were still remained, psyched from being in love.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, because love is the high and not the pill, when you take a pill, it's a choice, and love is something like you kind of fall into it. So it's not an active choice of a drug.
I always thought of like, if you look at, if you took a drug, right, the positive effect is the high.
Yeah.
But the pill is like what makes you feel like shit and like wrecks your body. So love is the high that makes you feel happy and all the bad shit that comes when you lose it and like when you're worried and like the jealousy and stuff, that's the pill.
Yep.
Got it.
I'm with you. And I also think they did pills together.
I mean, all of these can be correct.
And they went to some castle. They went to Hearst Castle together.
They did some drugs.
They did some drugs.
So if here is hard as the tower, is you became the light on the dark side of me supposed to be there became a light on the tower?
No, I think we just, non sequitur. I think now he's addressing
disagree.
A girlfriend. That's what I thought.
I thought it was like, you became the light, like that I had this dark, destructive side.
He's the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like. That I had this dark, destructive side that you came in and shone light on. And, like, to connect it with the drugs, maybe it was, like, you helped me stop doing this drug.
Pills, whatever
or
it
whatever
was.
It was of, like, that you helped me curb the darkness in me.
Yeah.
But then, once again, I might still be thinking of it as the filter through Batman.
The classic Batman filter.
Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite Snapchat filter.
As someone who hasn't seen that Batman movie, I do feel like it is sort of saying, like, I used to be, like, this miserable, like, alone person, and you became a light that shone on that darkness and made me, like, good. And because of that love, it's, like, it remained a high in my life and not the bad parts.
Right, because, I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead now, but the kiss from a rose on a gray, like, if you think about it, the gray, it'll be, like, his life was this gray, dark, you know, colorless thing, and then you bring in this really bright spot of red in
like
the middle
list.
Of the gray of, like, you have brought color to my life. You have brought positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Or Schindler's List.
That, okay, same. They're basically the same movie. When you
really remix.
Okay, I get it. Oh, look at the time. but, like, it's that idea of, like, my life was gray and dark, and you brought light, and you brought, like, a splash of color. And, like, you were, like, a high, but without the negative side effects of the pill that I had been used to using. And now you've helped me. I don't need the pill anymore because I have the high of love. That's how I take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a poetry major. I wasn't. I was a theater major.
It was a minor.
Hey. Okay. And then the pre-chorus.
Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become loud and the light that you shine can't be seen.
Drop!
Baby!
Oh, that swell! Oh!
The way the band drops out completely and then drum fill?
Oh, boy.
Give it to me, Seal!
It feels like that part where he's like, my eyes become large and the light. Yeah. It feels like he just like got some air in a jump or something.
Yeah.
It's like there's a tension to it where it's like, and then he lands the fucking.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
And also, once again, going with the imagery of snow, it's like that moment when you like go outside and like, especially at night, and there's like no cars on the street and like sound is dampened by snow everywhere. And you're like, man, it's really quiet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's oddly quiet in the snow. And like, it's like that of like, when it's snow. And it's like, he's almost like whispering, did you know when it snows?
He does. It is very like sing-songy in a weird like riddly way.
And also I just had a hard time not doing like a fancy lad like,
did you know
when it snows?
It feels like Labyrinth.
Papa.
Like some creature you'd run into in Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Daddy, could you make it snow for me?
I have a new conspiracy theory I've invented.
Okay.
And that is that this is a conflict between a girlfriend and drug use. And that when it snows is like
cocaine.
And he's like, I see the coke and I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. And suddenly the light of that relationship is less important to him because he actually also loves drugs.
Or maybe he's saying like, you know, you're trying to get me to quit the drugs, but when I use the drugs, it makes me love you even more. I can appreciate it.
And the eyes becoming large. I mean, like shrooms or
literally
whatever.
Literally dilating. Yeah. But like the light that you shine can be seen. So it's like, oh, when I'm on shrooms, I appreciate
you. No, this says can't.
Oh, yeah.
Light that you shine.
Can't be seen, according to the Verify Genius. But when it snows, my eyes become alive, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Yeah, can't.
Baby! Baby.
Can't be seen!
Whoa.
What a twist!
That's a huge revelation.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's about drugs.
Listen.
And a love.
I mean, that this song might be 100% literal.
I think it's both about love and other drugs. But I also do think in the love reading of it, it's like, did you know that when your love is like overwhelming, my eyes become like a little, it's like I become so invested in it that like I can't fully, it's like you can't see the forest for the trees.
Or your eyes become wide and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it is like it's overwhelming when I'm in that moment. When it snows, I'm overwhelmed and I can't find you.
Which makes more sense when he says, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Where it's like, it's a little too much.
Oh my God, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's saying, I like what we have, but it's overwhelming.
He's like, hey, let's keep this casual.
Maybe that's what it is. Did we just crack the code?
It's like,
Seal, if we're right, you have to say yes.
That's how it, yes. Actually, unfortunately, if we're right, Seal has to appear, and then he's like, I'm free, and he just dissipates into a million pieces.
The
and
real
if he's
Lucille.
A cop, he has to tell us too.
That's right.
Hey, Seal, you a cop?
I wanted him to give us his seal of approval, and then again, disappear. He's free. But
did you know?
Now I'm thinking it's like the kiss is the important part. It's like I compare you to a kiss. I don't want a lot of rose.
Just want a kiss.
Just a kiss of a rose.
A whisper of a rose.
Baby, I compare you to a hint of a rose.
Maybe that's what he's. Maybe he's like, I'm addicted to you.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing is like, if I get to, and I want all of you, but if I do that.
It is. That's the drug thing.
Yeah. We solved Kiss from Aurora.
It's like a drug addiction that I can't deny, which is what I always thought he was saying.
Okay. I have a theory.
Hit me, Sherlock.
Because this is actually a reason I once broke up with someone.
No. Okay.
Yes. That I was going through
a fight about Seal.
I was about Seal, and I broke up with Seal because I said, tell me what it is. And he said, no. And I said, then we can't be together.
He said, I'll be the same.
And he said, I'm going to go write a song in the past. And he traveled back in time and wrote this song about me.
Now, That's great.
I was going through a really legitimately like dark time, and I realized the person I was dating, like, I would use her, like, she was at this island that I would go to not think about the terrible time I was going to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was not bringing anything to a relationship. I was just, like, using her as an escape.
A buoy.
And I broke up with her because I was like, that is not fair to you that I am doing that. And I am not,
you deserve better.
I'm not in a place right now that I could be a good partner in a relationship. And I think that maybe what he's saying is, like, you became the light on the dark side of me. And I just became, like, I craved.
Consumed you.
Yes. I would use you up, like, because I had all this darkness and you, and, like, I became so dependent on you and I'm not giving you anything. And, like,
I like this.
I'm using up your light and, like, I'm taking
your
away
vital
from
essence.
You. Yeah, yeah. I'm taking away from you. And like,
that feels like pretty common.
Oh, yeah.
To the point that I kind of believe that could be what he's talking about.
It also kind of feels like.
I just got chills on my own theory.
I have chills.
I have chills.
Can you see? Goosebumps.
I feel like it's also kind of like the kind of thing where it's like, you did shine a light on the hard, like the problems that I was going through. But then I got so invested in it that I stopped like caring about that positive side of it. And now I'm just like, no, it's you. I'm it. Like, you're what I need.
Yeah.
It's like, either way, it's kind of like I'm addicted to you and this isn't healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if he's having a realization of like, I have an addictive personality, like addictive tendency. dependencies, and I kicked this addiction with your help, but only to then become addicted to you.
Right.
And that's not fair to you. And like...
Guys, I'm fucking shaken by this.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to crack it today.
No.
I didn't.
And certainly not in the pre-chorus.
And now here comes the next line that will completely debunk everything we just said.
Ooh, it's not about my love. It's all about the drugs.
This is about puppies. What? Hold on. Slow down, Seal.
From a rose on the grave.
Ooh,
before I get up, you're the stranger it feels.
Yeah.
And now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave.
Oh.
What?
Now that your rose is not just a kiss and it's a full thing, uh-huh. That light that you're shining, it's really just shining a spotlight on the bad parts of the grave.
Yeah.
It hits the gloom.
Ah!
Yes.
Okay, so it was like when we were just casually dating, it was just like a little bump of cocaine.
Yeah.
And now that we're fully dating, you can see my darkness and it's not necessarily changing it.
Yes. And it's just sort of, it's like... Now that I see how too much of you is bad for me.
It, the stranger it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like.
Yeah. No, I think you mean, yeah.
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 It's just now that I understand what it means to have too much of you and I'm getting too much of you, that is shining a light on how
it's making me realize
right.
like the actual emptiness inside that I need to fix
yeah.
before I can actually be in this relationship.
The light has moved. It's not shining on the good parts anymore. It's shining on the
darkness. It doesn't make me think about how much better the world is. It makes me think about how terrible I am in the world.
Yep.
And like I have some real soul searching and improvement I need to do before I'm ready to be in a relationship.
Oh my God, next time I need to break up with someone for these reasons, I'm just going to play them this song.
Yeah, you know what? I think this says it all.
Hey, I made you a playlist. Just
slide him a Blu-ray of Batman Forever. I like what the little Bozo says, like, skip to 1 hour and 28 minutes.
It's like the credits? Correct.
Yes. Not the YouTube
one. The second song. I also will say just like the way he kind of yells.
Oh, baby!
There's like, especially since his voice has been so smooth up to then.
And then right before, it was so delicate.
It's a burst.
And
it's just an emotional like.
It's like a yell.
Don't you see?
I can't not imagine him singing that without like either his shirt like whipping, like just whipping in the wind.
Then
or,
you
like,
would love the
coat.
Video.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
I think I do, like, it's that vision of like someone walking to a room and like throwing their long coat backwards.
And arms everything. At the side.
Yeah.
Like Batman.
Like Batman.
Like how Batman does.
Sure.
Poof,
he's
I
a
want
Jesus
a costume
figure.
Change. Like in Legally Blonde, he just comes out in a different outfit. Oh.
Man, it's so good. I the
Musically.
More we talk about this, I'm waiting for, I'm now looking forward to the future when this episode goes up, and I just get a tweet from Seal that's like, you were right.
You finally cracked
it. He won't say what
and
about
And now you've won my
you
factory.
Right.
Now you can make the music.
Now
you are
the
tower.
Factory.
Now step into my glass elevator.
He takes you up to the top of the tower. He's like, that's the light I was talking
that's
about.
That's the light. It was a literal tower.
Yeah.
That was the one part you got wrong. Everything else was right. Yeah. It is a literal tower
92%.
Alone on the sea. He was thinking about Bioshock long before it ever came out.
And he has a castle. He has a castle on the sea.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's all the same.
I became the light on the dark side of him.
Yeah.
He was writing, I was the chosen one.
Yep. This is a paradox of time.
In a way, you became the light on the tower. So,
yes.
Wow.
And now you have become the seal. You must keep the evil at bay by sealing it off from the world.
Oh,
and it's been
oh
a
this
literal,
is like a Little Nemo situation.
Yes, this has been a literal
seal. Oh, I was
going to
say Santa Claus. You have destroyed, you have vanquished the seal, and now you must become the seal.
No, but it's more like Shazam, maybe, where I'm taking over the power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying maybe I'm about to become seal.
That's great. I'm so excited for
you. Thank
you. And now you'll finally get all the Nigerian things in this song, too.
Yay!
What are those again?
Emil, if you have to ask, it's just embarrassing
Musically,
for you.
This fucking shreds, right?
It...
You just want to sing along with it so goddamn bad.
I want to sing along with it so bad that I'm like, it feels like I'm neglecting the music of it.
Yeah.
Well, what it is like, this is a kind of song, when I say epic, I think, and maybe this is just because I'm a theater kid, but like, it feels like this is like the big, like, musical monologue.
Imagine the lighting cues.
Right? Of just like, I'm so moved by emotion, I could not sing.
This is the pre-intermission piece.
Yes, this is your, like, confrontation from, like, Miz. This is your, like...
This is the defying gravity of...
Right, this is, like, I'm so... Can't you see that the light that you shine... Like, I'm going to explain to you...
We should reverse engineer a musical around this song.
Yes.
Ooh, Kiss
just
from
so
a Rose,
the moment.
Musical? You can do it.
only Seal songs, and it's only this song.
Yeah, but it's this song, but in different, like, and this is the big jazzy dance number version.
And here's the minor version.
Actually, that might work because I feel like this is the kind of song where, like, you sing it in a, like, poppy way. You're like, oh, he's in love. It's like, I compare it to a kiss from a rose. Yeah. On the, and then it was like, you get
trumpet
sad.
Trumpet solo.
Like,
beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're just doing, like, jazz musical. Squares everywhere. And like, oh, wow, he's really happy.
I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the gray.
Ooh, yeah. It matches the choreography. It writes itself.
There you go. Have you seen that there's a Comedy Bang Bang sketch where they only got the rights to one Temptation song, and so it's entirely like, oh, I guess it was just my imagination, and like they just only break into that song. That's what this musical is.
We gotta write it.
It's great.
It's happening.
I love it.
Okay, well, where do we go from there? But verse two.
I'm looking ahead a bit lyrically, and now I'm just like, oh, is it more obvious than we thought?
Just hit play.
Okay. Oh. What is that? Is that a harpsichord? Or like a dulcimer?
It's like a harp.
It's like I think it's a really clean electric guitar.
Really?
I think it's an electric guitar.
It's gotta be. It's bing, bing, bing. If it is, I feel like it's the kind of thing where they played it very slowly and then sped it up. Because I'm like, that's so cool.
Or they just like engineered out any kind of overtones in any kind of like.
I mean, if you just do like a DI guitar with no effect on it, it sounds kind of like that.
Bing, bing,
yeah.
Bing,
bing, bing, bing. But I was thinking about that.
Plucking, maybe it's plucking a harp?
It could
be. Oh, no, not a harp. Sorry, like a violin.
Maybe like pizzicato, sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't know. There's a lot going on in this song. I really wish we had the stems.
This makes me imagine that, like, he rolled up to record the song, and he walked in, and there was, like, a guitar player and, like, a drummer and maybe a bassist. And he was like,
more.
Hey, I need 18 other weird instruments in here.
I'm not going to use a lute. I just want one in the room. It makes me feel safe.
Yeah. I just want to know that the lute is there because you know the old saying, if you don't have a lute, then you get the boot. Come on. If you don't have a lute, you don't have a lute.
If you don't get a lute, you don't get the lute.
And you're going to say shoot.
If you have a harpsichord, what the hell is the lute for?
Duh.
I really was excited for you to rhyme with harpsichord.
I did. If there's no harpsichord, what the fuck is the lute there for?
No, you need a hard D for that to work. Ugh. Try it again. Get it.
If
you
there
got
ain't
it.
No harpsichord, then we don't have an accord.
You could have done something about different like praise to the Lord. Or
if you don't have harps, if there ain't no harpsichord, you will be smited by the Lord.
That's pretty good. Something about drive away in a Ford.
If there ain't no harpsichord, then you're down.
You're a shart from the Lord.
There ain't no harpsichord, then I ain't downy like Gord.
Okay.
What?
The guy from the Tragically Hip?
What?
All right. Canadians know what I'm talking about.
Marissa, did you know what I was talking about?
You know the Tragically Hip? Okay, thank you, Marissa.
Okay, what's next?
Da-da-dum.
There is so much a man can tell you, so much he can say.
Oh my God, my best friend.
My power, my pleasure, my pain, baby.
Oh.
How do you not stand up during that part?
Oh. That's the thing. This song also is a masterful use of like dropouts and silence.
Yes,
and
doubling and harmonies and vocal arrangements. It's insane.
Yeah.
Why? They didn't need to do it.
You're my power, my pleasure, but also my pain.
Right? It was there the whole time. We're all dunces.
Here's the question. Well, that's what I was saying earlier, but here's the question. There is so much a man can tell you, so much you can say. What?
Feels a little patronizing, I'll say.
I just don't understand what he's trying to say with that.
I'm guessing that he's been reserved emotionally, and he's referring to himself in the third person. There's like so much I could tell you.
And so much I can say.
But I think I can summarize it in the following sentence. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain.
Yeah, maybe this is like he's trying to break up with her, but he just finds himself rambling.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay.
I could go on forever.
I could sit here and try to justify it. But the long story short, yes, you are my rock, and I'm so happy to be with you, but it's not good for
you.
Either. Listen, the sex, dynamite. Out of this world.
Sex, great. You fix me.
Also,
great.
You hurt.
Yeah, but the thing is like, we are destructive. We are, like, it's like, sometimes the thing that you want is not the thing you need.
Yeah.
Yes, drugs, this are is a great example.
This is a breakup song.
It is.
That's crazy.
It's a bittersweet breakup.
Wow. Who was Batman breaking up with?
And also, this song is apparently start to finish, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
It's like everything he's saying is like, listen, you're the you're a kiss from a rose. You make me feel better. You're the light on the dark side of me. But the thing is, I got gloom, baby.
He does kind of make it sound like it's not it's me, but also it's a little that it's too much of you.
Yeah, it's too much of you, but someone else would love a full blooming rose.
Oh my God.
Also, he like, keeps like referring to himself as like inanimate objects or in the third person, assuming he's talking about himself.
It's a deflection. It's a psychological.
He's like, I can't talk so personally in the eye, so I need to be a tower and a man.
Yeah.
But it's like he's catching. If you think about this, like it's a scene, right? Yeah. He's saying, okay, so there's a tower alone. Okay, that's not it. You became the light on the dark side of me. You know what? I'm going to cut out the metaphors. And but then that felt too real. And he went back to like
a man. I'm one.
Oh shit, you guys. This is why all of these feel so close to being a right phrase, is he's trying to find the right words.
Circumnavigating vulnerability.
Yeah. He's trying to explain, but he can't find the right words to do the breakup. So he's like, it's like a kiss from a rose on the gray. There's
like,
so much
what?
I could say. Oh, yes, I know. I know I'm saying.
The more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love, too, the double on there. There. It's like as if he, like, stopped for a second and then started again.
It's so.
He's like, there.
Yeah, that's.
There.
That's him saying, like, okay, listen, I'm saying too much. There's so much I could say.
If you read this right, this is just a monologue.
Right?
I would include all the background vocals and repeat it
there,
and shit.
There's so much. I mean, I could tell you so much he could say.
Oh, my God. I would watch this scene.
You remain.
I would
my
snap
power,
so hard for
my
this
pleasure,
scene.
My pain.
Baby.
To me, like a bone addiction that I can't deny.
A bone addiction?
Isn't that what it is?
No.
What is it?
Growing.
Really?
What is a bone addiction?
See, I don't know.
He, in this theory, he's the fucking Night King.
I assumed that bone addiction was like a bone deep. Like a,
have
a
you
bone.
Seen The Bone Collector?
To me, you're like the bone collector in that one guy.
Yeah.
Would you tell me, is that healthy, baby?
Wait, hit it. We haven't gone there yet. Hit that clip.
Oh, right.
My pain, baby.
Okay, I hear it now.
Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot and the light that you shine can't be seen?
So, but right there, I mean, it's right there.
It's right in front of us the whole time.
I've never felt more powerful than when he says baby.
But that he says, it's a growing addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy? Like, you have to understand this isn't healthy.
Also, growing addiction, doesn't it sound a little bit like you're saying drug addiction?
Yeah.
Or bone addiction?
Or, of course, bone addiction.
Or a grown addiction.
Or like a grown folks addiction. You know how grown folks...
Which goes back to bone addiction. He's like, I got that bone
but
disease.
If you think about it, like, this is a growing addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy? No.
It's not. You can agree.
You have to admit.
This would be better for both of us.
That's not healthy.
Ugh, it was right there. I'm so bummed that this whole time we've all been like, what is it about? And it's so obvious now.
We were cheering up top and people were probably like, no, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. Oh, wait. Did everyone else understand this except us?
We'll find out when this comes out.
No, but the thing is, again, it's one of the most requested songs. So in my head, it's either people really want us to talk about how weird the metaphors are or they're like, what the fuck does this song mean?
Yeah.
But also the fact that Seal has had to avoid explaining for so long makes me think people don't know what it means.
Yeah. And I also think, like you said at the top, the more we talk about this theory of what it means, it feels incredibly personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get why he'd be like, no.
Honestly,
don't need to talk about this.
The more we get of this, the stronger it feels.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was some great harmony we just did.
There's no song in the world that I want acapellas for more than this, just because, like, doing the harmonies for this punch up were so fun, but also just like if you listen closely, you can hear this. Like when he's like, "There, wait, okay, sing the line where it's a there's so much a man can tell you."
There's so much a man can tell you, so much he can say.
That's what he's doing.
Do that by itself.
There, whoa, bum bum.
I love Seal for this,
and for the growing addiction here. Do the to me.
To me, you're like a grown addiction that
wait,
I can't
shit,
deny.
He says, "Shit, wait."
To me, you're a grown addiction.
No.
Yeah.
To me, you're like a grown addiction. Yeah. It's like 1987. Seal said, "I'm gonna write this song for men's acapella groups."
Yep. Absolutely.
You guys, there is a King's choir. I listened to it. Fuck, I should have had you grab it. There is an a cappella arrangement of this song.
Of course there is.
And it's like kind of good, to be honest.
Song is already 95% an a cappella version of it.
The worst part about it is that no one can sing like Seal.
Yeah.
This is so technically difficult.
Yeah. Those Nigerian throats.
Oh, and the breathiness.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When he does the
he has
much,
the range.
But not only that, but it's his voice is so
strong,
rich, yes, and dense.
It's the just huge. The restraint that makes it so powerful.
I don't know how he gets as high as like, baby, and then he goes back to, I can be, like, it feels like it is like this big, powerful thing, but then he is so able to bring it back to being
it's a
like,
cry.
Yeah.
He throws it like a cry, and then he just goes right back. And it's also like 5 decibels louder.
Yeah.
Like he's fully like chesting out.
And you can also like, maybe I'm guessing, but it seems to me like you can see him like throw his head away from the microphone.
Baby! Oh, yeah.
It's like if he was in the microphone, he's blowing that shit out.
He's a consummate professional. Yeah. Of course he's backing up.
I can't imagine anyone seeing this without throwing their head back every time.
We're all doing it in case you can't hear it.
And also there's a lot of like fist clench, pulling down. Like,
oh, and that drum fill, I feel like so slept on before the chorus. It's just like, it's all so restrained, but it's so perfect. It's so exciting. Good. It's just so exciting.
It really is.
Huh, I'm so excited about this.
Okay, what'd he say? You remain... Oh, wait, no. Is there anything new to analyze?
No. We can move right along.
Okay, great.
I can't wait to get to the bridge. I kind of want just a soundboard of clips like, my pain.
Yeah.
Or this, like this. Baby. Yeah.
And then here we go. I think this is a key change right here, right?
Yes.
This is the most Titanic part.
And then here we go.
I've
been pissed by Demi here today. I've been pissed by Demi on this pod.
Listen, we can joke a lot, but I need to hear it right now.
Yeah, okay.
Demi.
I've been kissed by a rose on the grave. I've been kissed by a rose on the grave. If I should fall.
Those drums! What did this happen?
So, once again, maybe at this point I'm just grasping to prove my point.
That's what we do here.
But it feels like this is the moment where he's second guessing the breakup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where he's like, this is the right thing to do.
In hindsight, I have been kissed by the rose.
And if I should fall, what if I fall again?
Yeah.
Like
I'm trying. What if I go back to you?
Right. Like what if I am too weak to finish this?
Or even what if I'm wrong and like without you, I'm like it's not.
So not even second guessing that you can't commit to the breakup. Second guessing that you should even break up in the first place.
If anybody's listening to this and screaming at me right now, I would like to acknowledge this. This could.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. This is a one-way street. I think that everything we've said up to this point could apply equally to a person he's in a relationship with, or as a metaphor for drugs.
Yep.
That he's in a relationship with.
Yes.
Because like if I should fall, like
relapse, sure.
And you made me feel better when I felt bad, but now it's just showing the gloom. Like I think whatever this is, I think we can say relationship.
Yeah.
That is ending
to a person or a thing.
To a person or he's addicted to something.
The only things that I will say don't apply to the drugs is every time he's like, won't you tell me? And there's so much I can say to you.
I mean, unless he's talking to like a therapist or someone, a counselor.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. Like, sometimes I talk to my weed.
Oh, that's the weed
I
talking.
I say, hello, old friend.
Hello, old friend.
Ah, we meet again.
Every time I smoke, I say that. Very fanciful.
When you see your main dude across the way and you know you're going to go wild.
Yeah, it's like that Snapchat filter. Bow, wow, wow, wow. Or Instagram.
Oh,
fuck.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what that is.
I love how it's like row, row, row your boat. It's like around.
Yes.
It's
also very calm about the layering, so it's like, I've...
Kiss by a rose.
And I also,
gray.
The phrase just like thrown in there, and if I should fall.
Did you know he goes, no, he says along the way. He walks down.
Really?
Yeah,
if
I didn't notice.
I should fall along the way.
Can you play it again? I want to hear just that part because I never noticed that before.
I'll gladly play it again.
Thank you.
I've been kissed by a rose on the grave.
How violin.
I've been kissed by a rose.
So beautiful.
Okay, here we go.
I should kiss by the rose on the grave.
Here's another cool part. The way he like goes into weird new like a new harmony.
I think he's walking us back into the original key.
Oh, that's
and so those
what it
are
is.
Like the yes. passing tones.
Oh, but also,
so
if you cool. just look at like the if you looked at it on a piece of on a staff, right,
yeah.
where he's falling and then like no, and like swooping himself up
yes.
out
yeah.
of it. Then we're like, if I should fall along the way,
it's like he's gray. Hiding he's,
yeah.
from the truth of I've been kissed by a rose on the gray, and then him going, no, I, him going, no, I have been kissed
it's
by a rose,
and I have to do this.
Yes, in like, his
and
head.
I, yes,
damn,
yes,
Seal really did that.
We solved Seal.
Ugh.
Can we get to take a fun picture with some props?
Yeah, I just love this, like, swooping out to be like, no. Like I was saying, very musical theater. Very
yeah.
theatrical.
Yes.
Of, like,
the song is so theatrical.
Right, where he you can see him almost doubting himself and then looking
Defy
up and like, no. Like,
away.
That moment is like, that's like a line uh-huh. from Les Mis. Like,
oh, totally.
I think that's like in Stars, where he says like, if I should fall.
And the way he says it even.
My
and
name
Defy.
Is 24601.
Can That's I condemn this man to slavery? Pretend I'm not the man I used to be. Must my face until I die be no more than an alibi?
That's exactly what Seal sounds like when
I
he
know,
talks.
Right?
Sean Connery is in the studio today.
Yes, I can't do the accent. Colm Wilkinson is, I think, his name.
Oh, I don't know.
Anytime I try to do him, I yeah, just didn't. Anytime I try to do him.
You're the man now, dog.
You're the man now, dog. Rest in peace.
Okay, I love that bridge. It's so weird. Yes. It's so whimsical. I cannot like it more.
and I want to see a music video of it. Maybe they do this in the music video, where like as he takes a step, you see this like echo of Seals behind him,
oh
all
my
singing
God.
It.
One step of footprint.
Yes. And yes. and then at the end, they all smash together back into
yeah.
one Seal.
Oh.
I feel like maybe this is in the Batman music video where they do the freeze frame on Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be here.
That's
I have to review, but it's very funny.
So maybe it's like. Batman represents one of the Seals, and Seal represents one of the Seals.
That's it. It's
and
Bruce
it's Batman
Wayne
and Seal
Batman.
Fighting.
Really weird
That's
that they,
the inner conflict.
They had Seal involved with a franchise in which they have the Penguin.
So true.
Anyway.
Mortal Enemies.
You just looked at your watch.
Anyways, look at the time.
The thing is, like, you didn't say anything, so I'm like, oh, it wasn't even a joke. You're just like, okay, yeah.
No, actually, I got a notification from a game I've been playing on my phone. Don't worry.
I genuinely thought you were like,
I really
oh,
have
a
to
lot
get
of this,
going.
Huh?
That's actually the last of the new words.
Is it?
Yeah.
But yes, but he does sing.
We still have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sings a lot of things differently in a way that I'm like, there's analyzing
oh,
there.
Oh, musically, we have to get yeah. into this.
Listen again for the there.
There is so much a man can tell you, so much
so quiet there.
He can say you remain.
Weird.
My power, my pleasure, my pain.
That heartbeat. Ooh, he's that heartbeat.
He said goodbye to his baby.
Now won't you tell me he's a healthy baby? But did you know
no.
that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can be seen.
Oh, can't believe you did that.
I have to because the harmonies on the next part are the best part of the song.
I love that heartbeat
boom,
that
boom.
When it drops out and you can just hear boom, boom. And then I think maybe I'm confusing it with something else, but it sounds like that kind of keeps going quietly underneath, and maybe it's been going. I don't
we
know.
We need the stems, yeah. goddamn it.
But that like hearing that of just like this hurts, like uh-huh. this is a painful thing for him to say.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like and like it's such a wonderful metaphor of like if you're in this moment and like this does make me. Think more about like it being a person, like a person, but like if you're ending something with a partner and there's a silence after like the news has been delivered and there's a silence where it's like all that's the only sound that's happening is like us just sitting there breathing in the moment and like yeah. our hearts beating.
This
like,
is too real. Stop.
I know, right?
You're making
this
me sad.
This is an amazing song.
It's
and
making
also,
me sad.
The Riddler.
Can we also talk about, and this,
riddle me this
always bothered me so much that they come in early
on the you.
On you.
Yeah.
The background vocals, like, I can't wait any
too
longer.
Too much he can say.
You. It, like, really jumps the beat.
Yeah. But it also.
Why?
It works in a way to me.
I'm just confused by it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Otherwise, it's, like, so exactly on. And then this one part, they're like, let's just fuck it up on purpose.
I do wonder if there's, like, a nice symbolism between it being, like, when he says my pain and then says baby, it's sort of like he's, like, painfully screaming, like, that's what you make me feel. And now that the heartbeat's there, it's like, if I get rid of that, the painful aspect of you, I can feel myself again.
Yeah, and also maybe like a comparison between the pain of like when we're fighting and like yeah. we're bad for each other versus the pain of like it not being right and knowing that and like the moment ending. So it's like we can have this big screamy pain,
yeah,
but also just this quiet sitting here, you know, alone together pain.
Right. Having to like sit with yourself and just be like, I can't distract myself with being like, oh, you, we can fight now. It's like, no, you got to sit and examine your own shit.
Or drugs.
Or drugs. Or drugs. Miel brings up a good point.
Yeah, or drugs.
Might I add, or drugs.
You're right. Could be the drugs doing it.
Counterpoint, or drugs.
Drugs. Have you tried them?
No.
Don't answer that. Cops listen to this.
Seal, you have to tell us if you're a cop. The harmonies on this are so good.
I like that. Ooh.
Here's like a weird tambourine.
Whoa. I think what you thought was tambourine might have been a rhythm guitar.
That's so weird. Strumming. It feels like it's off, like it's just on its own rhythm because it's just going.
I think it's upbeats. Also, did you guys notice? The only time I noticed the piano was after that dropout.
Yeah.
I have not heard piano really otherwise.
No, I did not notice that at all.
How many fucking instruments are in
this
song? That's
what I'm saying.
And why?
He must have had a full orchestra.
400 musicians played on this song.
I mean, you get that Batman money, go all out.
This, again, was before Batman.
I know, but, like, was it this version before Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's only one version that I know of.
You believe you can get that Batman money, you go all out.
Trevor Horn, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, more.
Do it with an orchestra. That's what every producer sounds like to me.
I love this song so much.
It's so good.
It is so digestible. Like, right? And by which I mean it's like one of those thick, sweet, weird crackers they have in England that are like digestives.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes you shit.
It's dense.
It's super dense, but it's tasty.
They got chocolate on top.
Now that we've listened to it again, I now remember that when I tried to do this in karaoke, the problem was not the key changes. It was just exhaustion.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like where it goes and where it moves and how much... You have, like, you know, we're talking about throwing your head back, baby. Like, you have to.
Commit. You cannot half-ass it.
You can't, like, calmly sing this song.
Baby, I can be to a kiss from
I would be offended if I ever saw someone try to casually do
imagine someone going, ooh, the more, like, fuck you.
Stranger.
Ooh, I want a hard glottal stop on that. Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think that this might be the number, like, this would be the song that I saw someone do because it's like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Then it's like, no.
No, no, no.
No, it's not funny that you're doing this song badly.
This is true performer hours.
Yes.
Yeah. GTFO, if you are not committed to the song.
You can do I Would Do Anything for Love badly. I won't forgive you, but you can do it.
You can even do Fly Like an Eagle badly.
You will make a mortal enemy out of me, but you may do it.
Yeah. You can do My Heart Will Go On. You can do Bohemian Rhapsody badly.
Please, that's the only way you should do it.
All those things I don't think you should be arrested for.
No.
But
this song,
I think that there needs to be a law in the books that if you think it will be funny to do Kiss from a Rose, fuck you.
I heard that Seal's been trying to get that passed for fucking years.
Seal 2020.
I heard Elizabeth Warren, actually, that's one of her policies.
Seal Warren 2020.
She's got my vote.
Yeah.
Warren Seal 2020.
Thank you. Warren Seal.
Sorry.
Warren Zevon 2020.
He's going to put werewolves back in London.
And then we just have the outro.
Just the outro. We're blessed to have the outro.
Oh, sad. Oh. The bass is so loud.
Yes. Holy shit.
Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave.
Three-part harmony, baby.
That's how you end a fucking song.
This is so goddamn theatrical.
I just had another revelation listening to that.
What?
That he's literally saying bye.
Yeah, that's goodbye
bye,
forever.
Yeah. No, he's saying bye.
Oh,
bye,
Wait, but there's a part at the end that says, wait. He says, ha.
He's laughing at her. He's saying goodbye and laughing at her. That's why he chose those sounds.
Damn.
But he's literally saying bye.
Damn.
Bye. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. I feel like such a dunce. I've never felt more ridiculed by my own brain.
Right.
Wow.
I and that's why I chose to do this song.
Travis,
to make fools of you all. I'm so glad.
We really did it. Yeah. Travis, I mean, this couldn't have happened without you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just so shaken, truly. I thought this was just a dumb song that was just like random words out of a hat situation.
Listen,
but I think this actually means something.
I honestly did. I mean, run it back. Run back the tape. Check the replay.
Yeah.
I literally, at the beginning of this, was like, but he uses these phrases that don't make
sense. Sound weirdly Google Translate. Yeah.
And then when you think about it, it's like, it's because he's trying to find the words to say goodbye.
Damn. He's trying to break through the sheen that is masculinity.
It's like a Christoph Waltz monologue, you know?
There used to be a graying tower alone on the sea.
Or like a Sean Connery monologue.
There used to
be a graying tower alone on the sea.
Or maybe it's like Kermit the Frog.
Debbie turns around.
There used to be a great. Now you do one.
Me? Okay, who can I do? I don't know my impressions off the top of my head. Elmo?
It's me, Elmo.
Yeah.
You do Elmo.
You do Elmo. I can
do... you do me a green tower.
I can do me. Maybe like Bjork is like, there used to be a green tower alone on the sea.
With Bjork, I'm like, it makes a little too much sense with you. Yeah.
I would actually love to hear a Bjork cover of this song.
Baby.
Oh, actually, I'd love to hear a Regina Spektor cover of this song. I bet it would be incredible.
Used to be a green tower.
No, she'd be like,
and I would love it.
All glottal stops.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Sounds great.
Okay, well, I mean, final thoughts are, we get it. We figured it out.
We figured it out. Seal, you are free.
The bass is so loud. The drums shred way harder than I needed to. There's a billion instruments in there. I have no problem with any of them.
Damn.
They were all necessary.
This is also enough. I can't believe you didn't mention this in the trivia at the beginning. To get that layered vocal, Seal cloned himself.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 18
times. That's what happened in that tower.
And then each one of them. Yeah. He was a mad scientist who lived in a tower alone on the sea. And he cloned them and then taught each one of them to play an individual instrument.
This is to his clones.
Yeah.
The song is him saying,
family.
This is not healthy. I gotta go.
Yeah. Scrap everything we've said before now. What's actually happening here is this is a song to his clones.
Yeah.
You thought that was reverb? Nah. That's the echo of all the clones singing in the castle.
In their chambers.
Mm-hmm. Now we've solved it.
Now we've got it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad for the tag. We figured
That's
it out
beautiful.
Fully. Wow. Okay, Demi. Ugh. Curiously. You punched this up.
I did punch this up. And Miel, I feel like the thing about the way that I punch it up is what made the least.
It's live performance.
Oh, it's gotta be live.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
I know, right?
You're gonna sing this
After
live?
All we've said about how you can't replicate this sound, it feels like a fool's errand. But the thing to me that I was like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but there's also no reason for it to make no sense. So I thought what I would do is give it a reason to make sense. By translating it into a different language.
Oh my God.
Then translating it back to English.
Yep.
A few times to get different translations. And what better language to choose for my Nigerian friend Seal than the language of my parents, Yoruba?
This might be the most excited I've ever been.
And because you will not have any idea what I'm saying, I also made you guys a little lyric video to see while I'm playing it. So I was like, they won't get it at all.
Oh, thank you.
It's fine. When we put the video up, I'll put the lyrics there.
Oh my God. Ba-ya-ya, ba-da-ba-da-da-da, ba-ya-ya, ba-ya-ya, ba-da-ba-da-da.
My dark side. A search for a drug is high and non-medical. But you know that when he brings back the book to my face and the light of a fool cannot see. Son, I compare you with kisses from a hair on a skin color. Oh, someone I get it up. Stranger who's comfortable, yes. Now that the rapture is turned.
a light on a dark green skin color. He could be a man who loves you very much, so much you can say. You are my strength, my joy, my pain, my song. For me, it is like a growing effort that I can't do. Will you tell me, child, hell? But you know that when you are fools, my eyes are big and does the light have no light? Sun, can I put a white shirt from a bear on the skin? Oh, a little more, I get you, visitor, who feels the yeah. And now that your rose is in bloom, a light breaks the muscles on the gray. Tell you what? So much you can say. It is my strength, my happiness, my pain. For me, it's like a growing effort I cannot deny. Yes. Would you tell me, is that healthy, children? But do you know that when it shatters the weather in my eyes and the light that it shines cannot see? Son, I give you a nice strength in color, color, color. Yes, the more I get in, a stranger who is comfortable, yes. Now that his recession has turned, a light has darkened on the skin. Ooh, you're like a kiss from a tree on the grave, yeah. More and more I accept you, a stranger who knows. And now that her up is in bloom, muscle on the grave. Her hair is now in your hair. Electrical outlet on skin.
Color.
Woo! Sun!
Sun!
My son!
Child health.
Child health.
A stranger who knows.
Who's a stranger who's comfortable.
Yeah, more and more I accept you a stranger. I think what I love about that is two things. Well, I love everything about it.
4,000 things.
But
two
specifically,
of which.
One, how the same phrase was different every time.
Oh, it's because I was like, oh, that's the same one. I'm going to translate it a few more times. And I was like, how is it?
That's amazing. And also, when it wouldn't be different.
Yeah.
When it was just like,
my power, my pleasure.
There was one where it was like the whole phrase was like the exact
same. Now that your rose was in bloom. Yeah, I was like, how is that the same? No, it's, I guess some phrases just like will translate perfectly. I think it's like the more simple the word is, like now that your rose is in bloom, that's easy. But like the other ones where it's like, it's a little more metaphorical in what it's even compared to.
Yeah,
each, I don't
why
know.
Was gray skin color? Over
I don't know. I think it's like. I don't know.
That's what skin color was. The whole time I was like, yeah. Why are we talking about hair
kiss
color
from
and skin
a
color?
On a skin color.
I compare
like
you to a white shirt from a hair on the skin. It's a lot of, I don't know.
And I love that now that your rose is in bloom was now that her hair's in your hair. Yeah. Like, wait, what?
Which, to be fair, maybe more poignant observation about relationships and intimacy.
Mm. Now that her hair is in your hair, electrical outlet on skin color.
I have always said that.
Yeah.
Ugh, Demi, bravo.
I actually was going to say, you probably should stop saying that. It's a lot.
Is it?
It's like your catchphrase.
I thought it made me feel mysterious.
At first, yeah. I mean, mentally at first, but then, like you said it like 8 times in an hour today.
I thought it was funny that I said it.
Miel, are you trying to sell Electrical Outlet on skin color shirts?
No, why would you even think that?
Because, well, you're wearing the hat.
Yeah. Okay, coincidence. That's weird. So sue me. Okay. Son.
I actually will.
Yeah, this is going to be a class action
thing. Oh, great.
Thing.
First you're going to sue me, and then Seal's going to arrest me.
Yeah, well, great. That's the process.
Sounds like a great future for me.
It does. Sounds like a great future for you.
Skin colors, Electrical Outlet. Yeah. Check out our website. Thank you so much, Timmy. That was beautiful.
Thank you for putting up with the thing. I was like, this will either work or it won't.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
I loved the video. Video, really. I love a visual
component.
It helped,
I bet.
It sure did.
Yeah. I hope you're all enjoying the visual component of what you just listened to.
Should we get to Unpunchable Jam?
Let's do it.
You can't punch this.
Travis, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Of an Unpunchable Jam?
Yeah. Wait, did I not tell you what this was?
Timmy. No, I know it. A song that I don't think could be improved.
Yes.
Yes. I'll say the song that I've been listening to a lot. For some reason, I was putting together like a classic rock playlist on Spotify, and I added like a Jethro Tull song and then just couldn't stop listening to Jethro Tull songs.
Yeah.
Locomotive Breath, I think.
Locomotive Breath?
Yeah. In the shuffling madness of the locomotive breath.
Runs the all-time loser. Headlong to his death. Oh, it feels a piston scraping. Steam breaking on his brow.
Also, they do a song, maybe you could punch this one. It's called Bungle in the Jungle. That's just great.
I don't know how to fix it. The title.
So great.
Bungle?
Bungle in the Jungle. Let's bungle in the jungle.
Is that like sex?
I think so.
It can be.
Scandalous.
In the jungle.
There's a great line that goes, the rivers are full of crocodile nasties, and he who made kittens made snakes in the grass. Well, it's like, what? He's a lover of ponds, but a player. It's great.
I love the whimsy. I'm so into it.
It's really great.
Thank you for sharing that.
Eating their nuts, saving their raisins for Sunday.
What?
It's great.
Hang on.
This feels
saving
like
saving their raisins for Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure this isn't Demi putting Yoruba back into Google Translate?
I promise these are the lyrics.
No, I think if I translated that, it'd be like, oh, this is a normal sentence now.
Yes.
You know when you save your raisins for Sunday?
Yes, yeah. It's great.
Lord's Day.
Down
so
by the water hole out every Friday.
It feels
eating
like
their nuts, saving their raisins for Sunday.
It feels like a rejected song for like a Jungle Book type movie.
Yes, I know.
It might have
There's
been.
Also a great line that was like, I'm a tiger when I want love. I'm a snake when you disagree. And it's like, wait, what does that comparison mean? It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe we should punch that up.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I changed my mind. Let's punch it up now. I've said it out loud, let's punch it up.
Let's fix that.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I'm excited to listen to it. Demi, do you want to go next or me to go next?
Sure, I'll go next. It's from an artist I talk about all the time. It's St. Vincent, baby.
Oh my God, another St. Vincent to the playlist.
I don't know how many are in there, but...
A lot.
She's an Unpunchable Jam maker, but this one I'm picking is called Black Rainbow from her second album, Actor. And the reason I'm picking it is because it's a lot of metaphors that you're kind of like, I don't know what that means. And it's also this like very sort of... It's like an orchestral build that's like slow at first, and then over the end of the like over the course of song, it's just like, oh, the orchestra is taking over, which I feel like also kind of happens in this song as he's also just like building more with his voice.
Throw the phone out the window if you want the neighbors woke. You'll have to shout out loud and set the bed alight and slow. If you want the neighbors woke, you'll have to shout.
Feels like a like sinister Disney song. Like if there was like a Snow White type movie where the villain wins at the end, that's what this is about.
Nice.
Yeah. I love it. Have you heard Black Rainbow before?
Only when it came out. Ugh. I listened to that album a few times.
Great.
That fucking video for Actor Out of Work was so insane.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that got me into her.
It was the first song she wrote for the album, apparently. It was like, I don't fucking know what this is. I'm just going to make this thing. And then
the
video is
very cool if you haven't seen it. I would suggest watching it.
It's her talking to a bunch of people as they're like screaming back and forth at her and then like crying and going
through
emotions.
It's just crying. It's just actors crying to camera, on cue. It's fucking just a bunch of them intercut. It's very cool.
So strange.
That's a great pick.
Yeah.
I'm no problem with as much St. Vincent on the playlist as possible.
Hell
honestly.
Yeah.
For me, I wanted to do a song that, to me, the thing about this song is that it doesn't seal song, I should say. It doesn't sound like it's meant to be for a movie to me. Like, yeah. I'm like, what? This doesn't sound like a movie appropriate song. So I wanted to choose a song that, as far as I know, is not in a movie, but totally sounds like it should be.
Yeah.
So I'm choosing The Whitest Boy Alive, Don't Give Up.
Give me a reason to stay constantly ignored.
This really cool instrumentally piece, but then with a lot of singing and layered vocals, kind of like this song as well. But like, it mostly rides on the instruments just vibing out so goddamn hard. And it's kind of long and it goes through these movements. And I just, if you're driving home alone after an event and maybe you're kind of like decompressing and unpacking and you don't totally know how you feel, and especially if it's like nighttime, highly recommend putting this song on. It's just the best song to just let your brain go and listen to. And I cannot believe someone's not put in a movie yet.
I don't know Whitest Boy Alive. You've mentioned them before on our bonus episode we did, and I just...
They are not a band anymore, but okay. They were a band in like 2006 or whatever when I was listening to them, and they have that song Burning that I think a lot of people know.
Shorty fire burning on the white boys alive. I don't know that song, I think.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, I would probably... I'd have to hear it.
It has that iconic bass thing, like boom, 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 boom. No, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's.
Can I change mine?
Yeah.
Because I've been sitting here thinking while you guys were talking and not listening. I wasn't listening at all.
That's fair.
And I'm going to change mine to Walk the Moon's Tiger Teeth.
Oh.
Give in, give in. I want you bad. One heart, one too many to stomach.
It's a song about like a breakup, like there were two hearts, like one heart too many, and like it's this really, I think, beautiful and poignant breakup song about how much you can destroy someone by being in love with them and how much they can destroy you. Of like, this literally the line is like, one heart, one too many to swallow. And it's like basically them saying, we've got tiger teeth. And like, and it's like this thing about like them being so close. And like it starts with saying like, please don't come around anymore. Please don't hang out with me because all I want to do is play pretend when we're together that we're still together. And like, it's really like a beautiful, like to the point where after the first time I heard it, I could not get it out of my head for like 2 weeks. Like I couldn't fall asleep
because
I was like singing the song to myself.
Damn.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to listen to that now.
Now I'm like, can I change mine?
What? Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
everyone just wants to change theirs.
Okay? Well, no, because that reminded me. I was like, oh, a good breakup song. There's this song by Cautious Clay. It's called Stolen Moments.
I'm so afraid of intimacy. There's nothing you could ever show me. Never cared enough to see through all my flaws. I don't ever wanna hear you say, working together gonna be okay. Hard enough to see these goals don't come true.
I feel like songs don't hit me very emotionally, but I was going through a bad time and I heard, and there's this line's like, and I think that loneliness could serve us well. And it's all about like a break when I'm just like, ah, ho, wait, what is this? And I think it's like about the moments that are stolen when you're stuck in a bad relationship that you want to feel out, but it's like, no, you guys need to be alone so that you can
Guys, this is so heavy.
Yeah, now that we're just doing great breakup songs, I want to just suggest one more. Listen, if you're out there, people, and you're going through a tough time, there's a song called Ghosts by... what's his name? He's the guy who sung Gary Jules, Ghost by Gary Jules. And the chorus goes, so it's now become, so basically the first time I heard it was right after my mom had passed away. And it became like a thing for me there. But then it's been the thing that like I've listened to and think of like after a breakup when I got married, because the basically the song's about being a person in the midst of a change. And like the one of the choruses, she laughed and said, I was going nowhere, cause there's nowhere that she's ever been. When I get to that place, she'll remember my face and say, hey man, I knew him when he was younger, but she never loved me at all. And like then he sings about like a like talk about Don Quixote and sitting on a rooftop remembering the woman he loved, and he talks about like being on the run from someone chasing him but it being okay because he doesn't like to stop, and all of it comes back to like there's something we love in the mystery of a man in the midst of a change, just something that we are all frightened of, there's something, and it's all about like the different phases and like the fact that you're ever changing. And like it has been a song that I have found different meaning in depending on what phase of my life I was in when I
just
heard
like
it.
Just like Seal said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Seal.
Great. Travis, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah. Anytime.
For
anytime.
Solving the mystery of Seal after all these years. Is like there anything you want to shout out? People can follow you. Plug something.
Yeah, I do a bunch of podcasts.
Kind of a podcast guy.
Yeah, I do some podcasts. My brother and me, and The Adventure Zone. We have some upcoming tour dates. The next one, I think, is Indianapolis and Nashville, but there's a whole bunch of them. If you go to McElroy.family, you can click on tours. You can also there at McElroy.family find all of our podcasts, get links to like our Twitter feeds, and I think you can also order the next graphic novel of The Adventure Zone, but if it's not there, you can also go to theadventurezonecomic.com, where we are adapting our D&D podcast, or at least the D&D portion of The Adventure Zone Balance, into a graphic novel series.
Whoa.
It comes out in July. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Not only impressive, but so many websites. And also, I'm so impressed.
This might be out by July.
There you go.
We can probably say because
when's it come out?
I don't know. I want to say it's going to be a while from now.
Well, then it might not be Nashville and Indianapolis next. But if you go to McElroyFamilies.tours, or McElroy.family and click on tours,
well,
you'll see them there.
And also, we're doing a live show.
When?
In August. We're doing two.
Oh, yeah. We're doing Bumper Shoot and XOXO.
Bumper Shoot and XOXO. That's Seattle the weekend of August 30th, and then Portland the week of September 5th to the 8th. Sometime in that time. Anyway.
Basically, we're famous in the Northwest now.
We are hitting it big in just one area. Go to punchupthejam.com/live for deets there. You can also go to punchupthejam.com to find out more about us. You can follow Miel at Miel or Miel Monster on different social networks. You can follow
me.
At Electro Lemon everywhere. You can follow
That's
us
you.
At Punch Up the Jam
That's
everywhere.
Us.
Email us at punchupthejam@gmail.com. You can go to our Patreon and even find a live version.
Dude, while we were taping, Aunt Pam texted me. She just subscribed to our Patreon.
Aunt Pam!
We got another $7!
Aunt Pam really did that for us, and I love her for it. and yes, you can also have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.